Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
In particular today, I want to address a very important issue that I fear many believers kind of have mixed up. And I'm going to tell you right out front, not a popular topic. Today we're going to talk about eternal judgment. Okay, eternal judgment. And it's something that most Christians, it's uncomfortable to think about. It's uncomfortable to talk about. And there is a fair amount of confusion. And the reason I've said that is because I've recently had some conversations with some Christians. And I've even heard some sermons that made it sound like believers won't face any type of judgment. Okay, that somehow there's that thought, or at least there's confusion as to what happens, you know, after we die. When this life is over, will we as Christians be judged? Will unbelievers be judged? How will I be judged? Will it be fair? Can I get a real good attorney to help me out through that judgment? Things like that. And when people have their views, I want to ask this question. Where do we get our views about judgment? Do we get them from our parents? Do we get them from our family? Do we get them from our friends? What's scaring me, and it is scaring me, is that I think a lot of people in our nation, and actually even in the church, are getting their views on judgment from society, from media, from movies, from books, from TV shows, from famous people. And if that's so, where are they getting their views? And can you trust those views? I mean, certainly if I want to find out something about the weather, I'm going to turn to ESPN, right? No, you're going to turn to the Weather Channel. And so there's some problems here. And how about this? How about we look at what the creator of everything has to say about eternal judgment? How about that? How about we look at what Scripture says? Because I believe that we can trust, none surprisingly, the Bible's not silent on this issue. But many Christians are very confused, and it's understandable in the world that's full of confusion. And quite honestly, Satan likes to keep us confused. There are some things that Satan enjoys to do, and one of them is to cause us not to think about things we ought to be thinking about, and the other is to cause us to think an awful lot about things that waste our time. And so there are some questions that I believe we should be asking and we should have in the forefront of our minds. And so today I want to look about what the Bible says about judgment, particularly the judgment of our deeds. Which might be maybe skewed a bit. And so, as I said, I got 5 points. Everybody groan, get it all out of your system. I got 5 points for you today. And the first point is this. Everyone's works will be judged, period. Everyone's going to face judgment. Everyone. Now, I will give you this. There is a different experience of judgment for believers versus an unbeliever's judgment. So there's a difference. But Hebrews 9:27 says this, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes what? Judgment." Okay? We have to understand that. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14. Solomon says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." Certainly, if we want to look at the news cycle, I mean, we're certainly all about understanding that it's a difficult thing to consider, you know, our lives, and that our lives are going to be open in front of Christ, and there is going to be some form of judgment. Now, I know a lot of people right now are saying, "Well, wait a minute. I thought through the blood of Jesus, I was never going to face any type of judgment." Okay, that's an error that we have in Scripture. The truth is that we escape a portion which we're going to look at today. It's not that because we receive Christ that magically our sins go away. That they just magically go away. And some people believe that. In fact, I found it a deeply troubling theological book written several years ago that put forth this premise that because of the love of Christ, there's just no sin. There's no such thing as sin anymore. And so it doesn't matter what we look. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter how we live. It's all been taken care of by Christ. And so therefore, what we do, the decisions that we make, the way that we live our lives is really of no importance. And I would say that that is not okay. And that is not in line with what the Bible teaches. Okay? The truth is that Jesus paid. Everybody say paid. He paid the price for our sin. All of our sin. It's not just that, okay, because we repented, and therefore if we ever had a sin that those sins no longer have penalty. The truth is Jesus has paid and the blood of Christ is still in effect today. And last I checked, not a one of us are perfect, are we? Oh no, preacher, you don't understand. I sing in the choir, so I have no sin, right? Or I serve in this function, so I have no sin. And therefore, because once I received Christ, you know, that's it. No, the truth is the blood of Jesus, thank heavens that the blood of Jesus hasn't lost its power. Thank heavens that the blood of Jesus is still in effect. And so it's important for us to understand it. And because of that, their judgment is different. There's a different judgment for believers because of their faith in Christ. Okay? And some mistakenly believe, again, as I said, that because we've accepted that we're not going to face any judgment for our actions, which we're going to break out here in a little bit. The truth is we are. Our deeds are going to be judged. And Jesus is not silent on this matter. Now, even though our works are going to be judged, salvation comes through faith alone. Now, there's another huge mistake that I hear in believers that troubles me probably more than the first one. Which is that somehow because of Christ that our penalty, there's no more penalty for sin. No, Jesus takes care of that because of our faith. But the other mistake is that somehow our deeds are going to get us into heaven. Our deeds. And I was talking with a friend the other day and they said, you have to check out this new series they just put up on Netflix. It's called The Good Place. And I kind of looked at it and the entire premise of the show is this. Is that a person dies and then they are in this afterlife and then earning themselves to try to get to heaven. Okay, and now here's sad. People watch that and people somehow try to marry what they see on Netflix with what they experience in the Bible. Netflix is not worried about your salvation. They want you to view. They want you to pay. Hollywood is not worried about your salvation. They want your money. Okay? Understand their motive. God is worried about your salvation. So much so that He paid the penalty for everything, gang. Now, sadly, there is a... There's going to be an account, and when we look at these things, many people, the average person that you bump into the street, you say, what do you have to do to get to heaven? And they're going to say this, and you know it before I say it. Live a good life. You know, be a good person. You know, 51%, is that the mark? 75%, are we going to kind of do the three-quarter majority? How much? The truth is nothing. Nothing. And the scary thing is the majority of Christians, the Pew Research Center did a survey on August 31st, 2017 of Christians. Everybody say Christians. 52% of believers surveyed in 2017 said that our actions are necessary for us to get to heaven. That our deeds, what we play a part, that we earn ourselves to heaven. What are the churches teaching? And what do we ourselves do? Because bottom line, I gotta tell you, I've spent an awful lot of time with people in that last stage of their life. It's just part of what we do. And inevitably the conversation comes up where it's a common thing to hear. I hope I've been good enough. I hope I've done enough. And at that point, I always convey this truth, which is good news. Jesus was perfect for us. And the gospel is that He is our righteousness, okay? So let's see what the Bible says about this. So my first point is everyone is going to face a judgment. Everyone's going to face a judgment. Okay, believers are going to face judgment. Non-believers are going to face judgment. But before that, second point, and this is the most important one, You are saved by grace through faith, not works. Can we all read that? Ready? 1, 2, 3. You are saved by grace through faith, not works. Pastor, where did you get that? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And again, I like you reading because it's important for us. Let's all read this together. 1, 2, 3. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, how are we saved? We are saved by grace through... Okay, but what are we saved to do? To sit in the pew. What are we saved to do? We're saved to do good works. When we look at the average believer in the church, what we're seeing is a presentation that we're saved so that we can go to church on Sunday and then get that checked off our box, get back to our lives, get back to everything else. And then, boy, by Sunday it goes around, we feel a little guilty, so we better come back and re-up. Got to get my saver card checked. Got to come back and plug in. Honey, there's something more. There's something more. Let's look at probably the most important verse in Scripture. Again, and it's argument, but I love this. But everybody stops at verse 16. I want to go all the way to verse 18. Let's all read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So we are saved through him. It is through Jesus. It's all about belief. And if we have no belief, we have condemnation. If we have belief, we have no condemnation. You know, I said, well, you know, Pastor, I know some really, you know, people who don't necessarily believe in Christ and they do good deeds. I'll grant you they do good deeds, but I'll tell you this, they don't do righteous ones. Because our righteousness is not based on what we do. Our righteousness, our right being in God's eyes does not come from how squeaky clean we keep ourselves. It comes from how perfect Jesus is. Well, I'm kind of liking that, Pastor. He can be perfect for me and I can sit back and have a glass of lemonade and relax. Careful. Careful, careful. You see, this is why I think. Wow, I've been in Hoosierville. This is why I think that our deeds are so very important. Because if you watch your deeds, it's going to tell you what's going on inside of your heart. If we watch our actions, it's going to tell us what we believe. Your belief will determine your actions. Your actions reflect what's really going on. I can say all day long, I love my wife, I love my wife, I love my wife. But if I'm a total jerk to her 24/7, do I love my wife? The same way, I can say, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. He's my Lord. But if I never act in my life as if he's Lord, you know, Jesus says this. He says, look, why do you say you love me and don't do what I say? I'm listening to myself preach because right about now, a week ago, when it was about midway through the message, a little girl stood up and said, Mommy, can we go? This man's yelling too much. It's pretty funny. So I recognize that. My wife gets on. She says, look, you need to, don't yell so much. I'm like, look, I'm being true to who I am. When I go to a football game, I yell. When I go to my kids' sporting events, I don't sit next to anybody. You know why? Because I yell. And now you guys, I've seen you at sporting events, and you yell, and then you come to church. Amen. Yeah. So which one of us is, look, I get excited about this because this is about eternity. God has given, as a wonderful, loving Father, He has given us eternity. He hasn't saddled us with the responsibility to make ourselves right. That's why it's called the gospel, the good news. That's good stuff, gang. It's important. We got someone else? Okay, okay. It's like, here we go. So this is why this is important. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in Him is condemned already. So our place in heaven has something to do with belief. And by the way, this word belief, you know, careful, because I know a lot of people, I believe, when you look, and their actions don't reflect their belief. I can say all day long, this word belief, if you break this word down into its actual meaning in the Greek, it says to put one's full trust. Everybody say full trust. So I can say, I believe that this chair would sustain my weight. And some of you are like, mm-hmm. I can say all day long, I believe it. And to say I believe it, but my actions not follow suit, this means, and some of you are like, this is the belief I'm talking about. Belief that translates into actions. You believe it so much that you're not trusting anything else. You are putting your full trust in the way that God has prepared. 1 John 1:7-10 says, but if we walk in the light as He in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It didn't say that we don't have sin. It says that He cleanses us from sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So those who are washed by the blood of the Lamb. Gang, if you are washed by the blood of the Lamb, I got good news. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I mean, it's written, and that is a huge thing. That's good news for us. It's not how good you are. It's your belief. Now, hang on to that, because there's another balance here. What about everyone else? What about those whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We're going to have to go all the way to the end. So I wanted my third point today is this, the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay, the Great White Throne Judgment. This is a judgment coming to people whom we see their names not in the book of life. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And then I saw a great white throne. This is why we call it the great white throne judgment, okay? I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. From His presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Okay? Books, plural, were opened. Then another book, singular, was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were what, gang? Judged each one of them according to what they had done. Verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Now, verse 15, big verse here. If anyone's name was not found written where? In the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay. This is important. And I know a lot of people are like, we don't like hearing about this. This is uncomfortable to talk about. This is really, well, here's the deal. If I see you walking on the phone and like there is a massive hole and you're just so busy involved in your phone because everybody's got a Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and blah, blah, blah. I'm tweeting like crazy and I'm about to step off the edge. I would rather offend you and say, hey, wake up. I did that first service and someone's like, oh, okay. I would rather offend you because is that truly doing a right, expressing my love to you to not preach what the Bible says? Gang, this is important stuff. He says that when we're looking at this, we need to tell the truth and understand. I know that this can be uncomfortable. And I get it. And as I talk to people about this, they say, you know, look, why would a loving God ever send people to this place? Why? That doesn't sound like, look, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He likes to accuse and he likes to twist around. The question is not, why would God send? The question is, why would any person reject the love of God? Because here's what God so loved the world. He loved everybody. You know whom God loves? God loves sinners. Because God loved me before I was righteous. While I was still messed up. Right, gang? Thank you. P.S. For those of you who are wondering. You know, I get tired of those old arguments. I get tired that people try to spin the tables on God and try to paint God out as something. I get tired of those bitter old arguments from hearts that refuse to acknowledge God as God. But rather, you know, what I hear in that is, how could a loving God? You know what you've done? You have made yourself the judge of God. You go create creation. You go make everything that everybody needs. When you do that, then you come and you tell me how you can judge God. Be very, 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 very careful, gang. When we try to put ourselves in the place of God, because Satan has been trying to do that from the Garden of Eden. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Made this one tree, said, stay away from this one tree. Why? The knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, why don't we trust God that what God says is good? No, we eat of that, and all of a sudden we just try to be ourselves judged. We try to avoid God and get it on our own. Let me tell you something about God. God loves you. And by the way, Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the separation of the sheep and the goats. And this is what Jesus says. Listen to this. Then he says to those on his left, this is talking about the goats. He says, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire. Listen to this. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Gang, hell was not prepared for people. The lake of fire, this wasn't prepared for people. This was prepared for the devil and his angels. I don't believe it was God's desire. And this is where I kind of separate ways, you know, on hardline five-point Calvinists here. I don't personally believe that. This is my personal belief, is that God doesn't create. I believe that God wants and desires everyone. I know that that's a complicated argument about the will of God and the will of man. But suffice to say this, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works? God, what didn't we do all kinds of things? And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Gang, don't push the question back on God. God offers to us life through Jesus Christ. And so why would anyone on earth reject him? Now, I know that sounds scary. I get it. That sounds scary. And I'm sorry for those of you, who are visitors, you know, and it's your first time here or something. Look, I understand. I want you to know that we don't have to ever fear. And here's why we don't have to fear. Because God has allowed us, when we put our full trust in him, to know him as Savior and Lord and have no fear. We'd have our name in the book of life. Which brings me to those whose name is in the book of life. Let's talk about that. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. And Paul, in writing to the church, so Paul's writing to the church in 2 Corinthians 5:10. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay? That's pretty straightforward. He is writing to believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15. He says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. What's the foundation? Is the foundation doing good deeds? That's not the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, verse 13, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. Believers, wait a minute. You mean I'm going to face, I have my name written in the book of life? And my works are going to be examined? Yes. Pastor, why would you say that? Because so many of us are living as if we're not going to give account for how we've lived our lives and how we've stewarded what God has given us. And especially those of us in the United States of America. We are blessed, 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 blessed. And we're probably the most lazy Christians that there are on the face of the earth. And God has given all this? Pastor, go back to Indiana. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. We're going to talk about that next week, okay? We're going to talk about what Jesus said about the importance of our good deeds. In verse 15, he says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Oh. Okay, so here's a complicated verse, because I know that in heaven, you know, are we saying that in heaven we can have regrets? But that doesn't match up, because, you know, in heaven, every tear is going to be wiped away. So I really believe in heaven, in the presence of God, every tear is going to be wiped away. But I know this, that the Holy Spirit has put me here to do good works. And I got to be honest, for a lot of us, I don't want to make you mad, but I want to motivate you to ask yourself, why am I really here? It's not to come to church every Sunday. It's to be the church 7 days a week. It's to get busy. Look, I've got people in my life. I've got friends. I got family. I got neighbors. You're waiting for me to say coworkers to check to see how that worked. But I work in the church. Okay. So I've got people. And quite honestly, am I really doing everything that Christ has called me to do? I think that the reason that we need to ask ourselves these questions is to see, do our priorities line up with the priorities that God would have for us? Because what we're reading here is my works are going to be tested. And you know what? I don't want to get there and smell like smoke. How many of you love that the weather's changing? I love that the weather's changing. And so what the weather changes for me is, just about every night I like to go have a little fire. I like to put it in the chimney on the deck or build a fire outside. But here's the problem. Then I walk in and I have to do laundry because all my clothes smell like smoke. And I don't want to get to heaven and smell like smoke. You know, and I know, boy, that's a hard one. I mean, seriously, it's a hard thing to wrestle. Pastor, are you saying that you can have regrets in heaven? Are you saying that you're going to have, you know, this sense of loss? I'm saying that in heaven, yes, every tear is going to be wiped away, but I don't want to get there. And when I read what Paul is encouraging the church, I need to understand that my deeds, my works are going to be tested. I'm in heaven, praise God. But what I'm afraid is there's a lot of people who have adopted this philosophy in the church. As long as I get to heaven, that's all that's important. I don't really care because I'm going to live it up now. Oh, we're not like that. That's a question that I believe we all need to wrestle. That's a question I think we all need to do some soul searching. And that's why when we read and we don't just rely on what we're seeing in the paper, reading outside, that we get into Scripture and we allow the Holy Spirit to mess with us. I say it like this. On subjects like this, I want a healthy tension. I want to have a healthy tension that motivates me. I'm not saved by works, but I'm saved to do good works. And if my life is not reflecting those works, honey, we got a problem. Okay? Next week, we're going to talk about some of our deeds, but let's go to our final point today. And I just have one verse and we're going to be finished. I thought someone would say amen to that, and they didn't. And understand how I mean this. My last point today is live as if we will face judgment. Live as if the things that we do and the decisions that we make, we are going to have to give account for. Well, I think what we've read today is we are going to have to give account for our decisions, our actions, our deeds. And we are going to be, we're going to be examined to see how we stewarded those things that God gave to us. Amen? And if we're going to be examined for those, maybe I've done a poor job in communicating that and trying to be zealous for the grace of God, which I am. But we also need to understand why that grace was given to us. There's no reason that there's not somebody in Pittsfield. There's no reason that there's people in Pittsfield or Pike County that have not heard the gospel. There's no good reason. There is no good reason that we haven't taken the gospel and we haven't shared it. Now, I'm grateful. I am grateful that in the presence of God, every tear is going to be wiped away. But I think that we as a church need to get busy. And that means if I need to take a cattle prod and encourage you, consider yourself prodded. Amen? All right. I would love to sit down and continue to talk. If anything has been troubling about this, remember the comfort. We are saved through grace. I'm sorry, we're saved by grace through faith. But we are called to do good works. So let's get busy on those good works. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. And if you would join me as we pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.